the shiny green button, and I'm checking both the buttons, and I'm seeing waveforms popping up, and I'm going, ha, 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 and it's not peaking, which means I am ready to go. Is there a document of some sort? Are we going off of the script?
There is no document.
Good.
I've lost all stability and creation of documents. I'll do it someday.
No. I was just asking, because if you'd done it, it would be disrespectful for me not to use the document.
Well, yes, I appreciate you. I appreciate your interest in the documents that I do create. I am very proud of them when I do make them. This week, not so much.
No, I get it. Documents are serious, and you do or you do not with documents. So that it's cool.
Do or do not, there is no document. As they say in the famous movie, Die Hard 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Live free or die hard.
Spoken by Yoduck.
Yoduck. My favorite fictional duck. All right, should we do it?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do the thing. Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello and welcome to So What Do We Do?
I'm Storm DiCostanzo, the guy over here.
And I am Angela Laser, and I am the guy over here.
Wow.
So What Do We Do is a podcast where we talk about the news and then also try to have some fun so that we aren't all panicking all the time.
Yeah, I feel like we're walking it back from the panic zone. So Angela Laser, you and I had a virtual discussion over, I can't remember which platform anymore, Slack, I think.
Yeah.
That it's evolving. We're evolving. And that we talked about it some last time, but the news is now so very obviously, it's obvious what the news is anymore. So we're kind of morphing, I think.
Like a Power Ranger.
Oh, mighty and morphing.
Mm-hmm.
But that more of an exorcism model, I think, is what we landed on.
Okay, yep.
So
where we're going to discuss, you're going to give us some news, some headlines. I've got some fun things to talk about that will calm us down a little bit, and we'll be here to help you be tuned in, but also we're just trying ourselves to not be crying on the floor.
Yeah, or if we are, that after we have our cry, you know, we'll be dehydrated, we'll get some water,
mm-hmm.
we'll cry some more, and then we'll be better. That's, I think, what we're doing here.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're doing.
It's sort of like, I feel like there's a cooking metaphor. I've been watching the Food Network, but not enough to actually know anything. I just know that you can compare stuff to food, but not enough to actually do it. So we'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh my gosh. I spent 5 years in a training program to keep myself from just comparing everything to food. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I don't want to bring us back if you've worked so hard.
No, I got this.
Okay.
It's been, 6 years, and I'm still a food metaphorist, but, it never leaves, but I'm dealing. And really, there are only 3 items of news, so I don't feel like we're going to cry too much. Well, no, we're going to cry a lot.
Yeah.
Because I've recalibrated the news. Now, I only even enter things into my spreadsheet when they're pivotal, you know, not little things. So I only have 3 items this week.
Okay.
So we can just use them to jump off, and I'm going to do them in chronological order, cuz it's going to underscore how long this week was.
It was a long week.
We've traveled a lot of mental ground.
Yeah.
And in these 3 headlines, the first one, vote or lose your rights, Justice Department sides with Ohio in controversial voter purge case.
Hmm.
So this is a case that's ongoing, going to court, where previously the Justice Department was not siding with Ohio, where Ohio has these rules that they are propagating that are really nasty-wasties, biggest one of which is saying that, hey, if you haven't voted in a while, well, guess what? You're going to be purged off the voter rolls.
Oh,
so then you who were so motivated because of this election coming up, maybe it's not easy for you to get to the polls. A lot of maybes. You drag your butt out there and you get there and they say, oh, no, sorry, you can't vote. So right away, that's that they've suppressed a vote.
Yeah.
And it's probably known that the communities that are more likely not to vote frequently, or the communities that do vote the most frequently, tend to be, I think, old white people. Mm-hmm. And that tends to be in Ohio, certainly in a lot of other places, a key Republican constituency. So in the name of protecting the voter rolls and keeping them clean, they're effectively eviscerating voter rights. So that's pretty horrible. Not surprising. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. So the headline was that the Justice Department had denied it, but that's not the case anymore. Sorry.
It's a case that is going to the Supreme Court.
Oh, okay.
Check that. I haven't read this item in a while. I'm not sure if it's Supreme Court or if it's going through Court of Appeals.
Okay.
Where previously it was started, I believe, during the Obama administration, and the Justice Department was on the other side of the issue. So under Trump and Jeff Sessions now, this was announced on the 9th. Today is the 14th when mm-hmm. we're recording this. They announced, no, you know, guess what? We're gonna boost Ohio on this. We're back in those that want to take the votes away.
Of course. All right.
So that's what we got. Now, do you have a shiny theme picked out for the week?
I do. I have been reading a YA novel. I've been working hard to find good books that make it easier for me to sleep. And the book I'm reading is very cheerful, makes me happy. So I thought that you and I would write some YA novels together.
I like it. No, I love it.
So what I've done is I've gone to Amazon and gotten the top-selling new YA novels. And I thought I would read a little bit of the description, either the title or the premise, and you and I could kind of do one sentence back and forth and write the first page of it together, and then...
Oh, man, we're going to make a lot of people happy and make piles of money. Let's go. Let's do it.
Okay, great. We're going to start with this book, which is called Defy the Stars by Claudia Gray. Uh-huh. I don't think I want to tell us anything else about it, except that the main character seems to be named Naomi. So do you want to say the first sentence? We'll go back and forth. It's called Defy the Stars. What's the first page of Defy the Stars? How does it start?
Naomi dreaded the night sky and each day dreaded the moment when the sun would dip below the horizon.
As soon as the sun was below the horizon, the stars began to speak to Naomi and tell her what to do.
The stars gave her recipes for things like cornbread and mutton, but never items that really belonged on the same plate together.
Naomi decided that today was the day. Today was the day of the night where she would defy the stars.
Naomi grabbed a really big rock.
Mm-hmm.
And when the sun dipped below the sky, stepped out into the street in front of her house.
I think that's a good first page. I think we can figure out where it goes from there. Defy the stars.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen. I think a lot of young adults are going to grow a lot from that book. They're going to grow a lot.
And as the Amazon page says, it's an epic and romantic adventure perfect for the fans of the Lunar Chronicles and Illuminae. We have done there. Okay, great. That's
fantastic.
One best-selling YA book under our belt. Let's go back to the news.
All right, just two more items. That was happening. There was other stuff going on.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of kooky things that the government is doing at the moment, most of which we don't even know about because information is becoming scarce. And there is the Russia investigation that presses on, and information on that is kind of scarce,
mm-hmm.
Mostly because Mueller the special prosecutor is keeping things mostly under the ground, but things are starting to leak out. And then we have a headline also from the 9th. Trump threatens fire and fury against North Korea if it endangers the United States.
Oh, my God. That was this week.
Right? Is that not the craziest thing?
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, that's part of a series of headlines in which the president started strutting around talking in the thinnest of veils of nuking North Korea. Mm-hmm. And North Korea coming back and saying, yeah, we're gonna smack Guam. And that became a thing. I don't know how you feel about it, Angela Azar, but I just didn't buy it. It just seemed a little kooky to me in a way. I mean, of course it's kooky.
Yeah.
Of course it's kooky.
Yeah, it's all, I thought you didn't buy the premise of nuclear war or something. It's not possible. Yeah.
It's a fiction. Yes.
I wish. I have no idea how to feel about it. I feel like it was just a really weird series of days.
I mean, I guess when I say that I didn't buy it is that, I don't know. Just, I think we've all seen enough. Well, we've all seen enough of Trump as president, but we've seen enough of how he behaves and attempts to do things that it's clearly this pattern of bluster to try to move perception and then trying to get a favorable resolution after it. So, you know, even as all the news outlets, including the more reliable ones, were breathlessly discussing how horrendous and dangerous, et cetera, I felt like it did do a job of pushing a lot of things out of the news. Not that I believe things are being done simply to distract. It's all part of one terrible whole. But that I do think it was more about that than anything else, especially the Mueller stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard to not... There's like the balance between taking rhetoric and tweets and just words seriously when there is action happening on completely unrelated issues. I don't know. Do you want to write a YA novel?
I do.
Okay.
Very much.
Okay. This is a book that I'm actually really excited about. I just found on this page called Queens of Geek.
Uh-huh.
Three friends, two love stories, one convention. And the main character is named Charlie.
Charlie.
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
Charlie walked onto the convention floor in a new cosplay she had never worn before.
It didn't belong to her, which is why she had never worn it, and it didn't fit entirely right.
She looked to her left and to her right to see if anyone could tell that her Boba Fett costume was just a little too small.
There was, to her left, a guy in a Princess Leia outfit who said, "You look a little short to be a Boba Fett."
To her right were four identical Wookiees who all thought that joke was a lot funnier than Charlie thought.
Charlie realized she had made a horrible mistake by donning the costume and took off the helmet.
Just as she did, she looked across the convention floor and saw the most beautiful person she had ever seen.
And then suddenly, donuts!
Great. I mean, I'm ready to turn the page. I feel like that's how you know when it's time to end a page, is when you really want to know what happens next.
Yeah. Did she see donuts behind the person? Did the person have donuts? Or did the donuts just start raining from the convention?
Yeah, I'm picturing an alarm, and it's a convention where every 30 minutes donuts fall from the ceiling.
It could have been a donut convention, and that just happened to be the one clatch of people who did not get their themed costumes correct.
There was a convention this weekend in Los Angeles called BrunchCon.
Interesting.
That was like you paid $50 and then got unlimited brunch.
Isn't that just called brunch?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Except that this one was in a convention hall, and I really hope there were costumes. I don't know what they would be, but I have...
Eggs.
Yeah, sure.
Eggs. All, like, you know, you can be an omelet, you can be over medium, quiche, and that's it. That's everything. That's okay. Everything available at brunch.
That's it. Those are the three things that brunch are. Okay. I know you have one more piece of news.
Yeah, and I think you know what it is.
Yeah.
I hate to laugh before saying something like this, but, you know, I think we've all been feeling this and processing it. So here we go.
Yeah.
The headline I chose is a little, okay. Car hits crowd after white nationalist rally in Charlottesville ends in violence. And, you know, this was actually an earlier headline before they knew the identities of the people and the fact that a woman was killed.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's basically, I feel like it's kind of changed everything again.
Yeah.
And that this cycle together, things are accelerating. We've gone from this murkiness to this existential threat and then... what, you know, you could say is a different type of existential threat. You can almost say happily that at least I feel among most people, there's a pretty clear cut line here, which is Nazis. It's really hard if you're starting to make apologies for Nazis and white supremacists. You know, I think all but the people who are really hardcore Nazis and white supremacists got to do a little mental check. Got to check yourself a little. Maybe a little.
Yes. Yes.
I've
been reading, I think a lot of people have been tuning into like the reactions of all of this. The white supremacist rally started because of a statue that was being taken down. Is that correct?
Yes. It's part of a trend. New Orleans was really the first high-profile case.
Yeah.
There are strewn mostly throughout the South memorials of various sorts to the Confederacy and its major players. So yes. These are folks like, in this case, Robert E. Lee, who was the leading general for the Confederacy. I actually know an awful lot about the Civil War, studied it extensively.
Not a surprise to me. That you know something about history.
A little bit. And also I live in Virginia and grew up in the D.C. area, so it was all around me. And I have been to every Civil War battlefield pretty much between Gettysburg and Antietam.
Wow.
And a few beyond. Anyway, so yes, these Confederate memorials have become rallying points for on the right. And I would say not just to Nazis, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists, that there are people who believe that it is an attack on them and their families, that this idea that these are part of, you know, your heritage.
Right.
And they view this as you're coming after white people. One of the rallying cries in Charlottesville, which is originally a Nazi cry, was... you will not replace us. This idea that you just want to purge us from it. And that's, I feel off the mark by more than a little bit.
Yeah.
And that a lot of these memorials do and the fact of them, when you elevate these leaders is you're reinforcing this mythology of the American South, before the Civil War and certainly of Jim Crow that followed that it was somehow this noble enterprise, kind of ignoring the whole issue of slavery and how intertwined it was with the American South, and that there's no getting around it. You cannot laud of Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, without that entire package.
Right.
And you don't erase it from history. Quite the contrary. It's how you present it. And so Charlottesville is one of the cities that had determined, okay, you know, this is not a great thing for us to have. New Orleans took down their Confederate memorials. And so it became, for these white nationalist and Nazi groups, the cause that they would rally around. The lost cause, as it was known, continues. So that was at least the pretext for it. But it is also part of another series of actions, which is what was self-branded as the alt-right, but which is white nationalism and a lot of other horrible things. This campaign to try to normalize themselves and present this idea that white people need to rally or be eradicated and hype up this fear. And even in the wake now of these terrible events, which were very much at the behest of the white supremacists, that they're saying, yeah, we're going to go back to Charlottesville. They believe achieving their objectives. And certainly when you have the president simply not taking a proper stand on it, even today, he did make a speech where it was still very waffly. And that even then, after 2 days after the truly horrific and tragic event, it really makes you wonder, what does it take for the grown-ups on the right, on the right, to step up and depose this guy. I mean, when you take it all together, I don't see how it's tenable. But then again, it's felt like they that way for 7 months. I'm sorry, I've been monologuing. But
it's good to hear from you on this, and to have the context for it, I think is valuable, and makes it easier to know what to think and how to form plans.
So. Well, yeah, and that's the encouraging thing. I think I've been talking for a long time about how, we're not so, but that what could help help would be this Kent State moment. And I don't know if this is it, and it's not a direct parallel, but the idea that there could be an event where anybody who is in that middle, or those people who may have been lying to themselves about what's happening or are fearful, might see that the dangers of continuing to walk towards this precipice can no longer be ignored, and that it's time to ratchet back. And this feels a little bit like that. I was not alive and around during the Kent State massacre. But you feel a change, and already on the right, they're trying to spin this into being this false equivalence that they are so good at. And the question is, and it's sad, but the fact that it was a white woman that died, if it had been a black woman, a black man, a gay man, if it had been anyone else, I don't believe it would have had the same effect. And that's infuriating.
Yeah.
But that I think that's, and Ferguson was just seen as this horrific event where African Americans, in their desire to make a change, were demonized by the right. And that there wouldn't be an equivalent reaction, not even close to it, on the right. Though, to be fair, there were a lot of Republican senators and representatives and others who did speak out forcefully immediately in the wake. But at least among those who are truly in power, there's nothing actually being done, and particularly not in the administration.
Yeah.
So, sorry, there's not a lot of levity in that.
No, that's okay. Well, let's write a book. How's that?
Sure.
Okay.
Books help.
Books help. Well, this book is called Strange the Dreamer. It's a bestseller. The main character is named Laszlo Strange. Mm-hmm. The tagline is, "The dream chooses the dreamer, not the other way around."
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to start?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. What was his name again? I remember his last name. Laszlo, was it?
Laszlo. Yeah.
Sure. Laszlo needed socks, and he proceeded to the mall to solve his query that revolved around his feet.
Laszlo had no idea that his search for socks would be the thing that changed the world forever for the better.
For when he arrived at the store, he found the sock aisle and was halfway through the sock aisle when a blue glow began to emit from behind him.
The blue glow hovered in the air just out of his vision, and as soon as he turned around, it was gone.
And when he turned back, he found that in his hands were the perfect pair of socks.
Laszlo looked at the socks, saying, "Wow, they're better than I ever could have dreamed. How strange."
And the socks said, "I know, right? This is incredible."
The end.
That's it. The socks choose you.
Strange the Dreamer. Pick it up at your local store.
That's a strange story.
It's a hopeful story. It's ultimately, it's about the triumph of the human spirit and the ability of socks to bring us all together.
Hope and socks are going to see us through.
Hope and socks. There actually is like a blue, some sort of supernatural blue character I'm seeing in this book. So I was wondering if you already knew that about Strange the Dreamer. I'm excited to read it now and see if there are magical socks in it.
No, I have no foreknowledge of Strange the Dreamer or Laszlo or socks. I mean, obviously I know a lot about socks.
Yeah. Well, you're an expert. No, you're a topic expert on socks. A lot of people know that about you.
Yes, I'm a pedivestist, so I know a lot about socks. Anything that you put on your feet, basically.
What was that?
Pedivestus.
I love that word. Foot
and vest. Thank you. I just made it up.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
Yeah, don't worry. You're not lacking in your education.
I thought I was learning something factual, but I was learning something even better.
I'm so glad that you like bullshit.
Well, that's why the podcast works. It's good. Well, awesome. We've done the news and we've done our other thing. Storm, do you want to wrap up? Do you have any serving suggestions or final thoughts that you would like to discuss while we're here?
I will say that absolutely this is the time to find out what type of groups organized near you. We don't know what's going to happen. I myself was unable to get to any of the demonstrations that took place in the wake of Charlottesville, but that really, really matters. And certainly, it's a winning formula that you let your representatives know, you empower them if they're with you, and you give them an earful if they're not. And people willing to show up on the streets matters a heck of a lot. Continue with last week, make sure to give yourself some breathing space from the news. If you have been sitting in front of the TV for 5 hours, that's too long.
Yeah. There's only a certain amount you can do by learning the same horrifying information over and over again. We just moved to Los Angeles and have been doing a little bit of research into the groups that usually put together the demonstrations and the rallies here, which is easy to find out. Easy to tune into either on a Facebook group or Twitter or whatever. It's possible. So I recommend doing that and getting a group of friends together that you can share rides with or whatever. If you're going to go to something like that, just prepping for when something happens. It's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I think there's the resistance calendar is a resource where you can also go to at least get you started because it shows where events are.
Absolutely.
So put you put your Googles to work and then get your feet going when the time is right.
Absolutely. And draw yourself a cartoon of a dog and tweet that to us at So What Do We Do Pod on Twitter. I'll make a cartoon of a dog and put it up on our Twitter so we all have something fun to look at. Or
tell you what, if we can, we'll do a little story about your dog. Send us your cartoon dog.
Yeah.
And I'd say up to, well, who knows? Maybe it'll become a thing. If we get 100 dogs, we'll work through them, just not in one episode.
That'd be great. I would love to do that. I will also say, as I'm looking through Amazon YA books, number one right now is the Miles Morales Spider-Man novel. So I think everybody should buy that. That's just a thing that might make you happy. I don't know if you know about this, Storm, but there is now a novel about Miles Morales, who is Spider-Man, who is an African-American kid. And it's really cool that exists.
I had not heretofore been aware, and I think that's pretty terrific. And will most likely purchase same.
Yeah. There are lots of scary things happening in the world, and then there are some very uplifting Twitter threads about how representation still matters, even when horrible things are happening. So that's what I recommend to you, and I think it's great that it's the number one new release. Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I like Spider-Mans. Be
the Spider-Man you want to see.
And that you can take to the sock aisle.
Oh, yeah. Put it in the Petavesta Bank.
All right, this is So What Do We Do. Thank you so much for listening to us, and we will see you on the internet, and always, we care about you.
It's true.